There we go. All right. Well, this evening, I'm gonna take a little break from Psalms. We got about halfway through it, and move to a more obscure book, the very last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And we'll spend a few weeks on this book. It is the perfect transition from Old Testament to New Testament for several reasons. The book of Malachi. It is the last, not only the last book in your Old Testament, it's the last book that's written, or the last prophet that preaches, and at least before Jesus Christ comes. And after Malachi preaches, and this book is put together here, just four chapters, there's roughly 400 years of God not saying anything to Israel, and the state of Israel not changing at all. And so everything that's said in the book of Malachi, it's appropriate. And the Lord just has nothing else to say to the nation of Israel. And so there's so much application to draw from this. He deals with the priesthood, the state of the priesthood. He's going to deal with the state of the nation. He's going to deal with really the light that Israel was supposed to be to the world. That light was essentially had gone out. Now, although Jesus Christ is going to be the light of the world, but the nation, the people, have at this point the representatives of God are basically like the world at this point. So Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." Let's stop there. We'll pray, and I'm going to just go through some highlights in this book, and then in the next few weeks, we'll go over the book itself. But let's pray, and then we'll go over kind of an outline of this book. Father, thank you for these words. I pray we could get what we need out of this. We know you directed these things to the nation of Israel, but also know these things are recorded for our learning and for our admonition. And if there's things that need to be applied, I pray that you'd help us apply them tonight. Really, I pray you'd help us get an understanding of this, I think, one of the probably most least read books in the Bible, and just kind of an obscure book. And I pray that we would get an understanding of it and help us appreciate it more. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Malachi. The name Malachi, it means messenger, and there are in the book five messengers, and one in particular that is of the most important. Malachi is one messenger, obviously. Then in chapter 2, verse 7, we'll go there. I'll give you another messenger, just because that's what his name means. I'll give you another messenger here. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, the priest is supposed to be a messenger of God. He says in chapter 2, verse 7, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth." So that's where people are supposed to learn the law from the priest. "For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." So you got Malachi as a messenger. He preaches, and he says the priesthood is supposed to be messengers. And I mean, we can make application, which we'll do later on, but make application. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're saved, you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you're you have a priesthood, you are a priest, and so you are effectively the same type of messenger that Malachi is talking about. Right, then you have, that's two, Malachi, and then the priests are messengers. Then you have in chapter 3, verse 1, John the Baptist, who is not going to be around for another 400 years, but here's a prophecy of him. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." Now in that verse, you got two messengers. You've got John the Baptist, who's going to prepare the way of the Lord. And it's kind of neat. I mean, when the Lord says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Remember, this is 400 years before Jesus Christ shows up. And this is the voice of God speaking as though he's Jesus Christ. So it's the same. When Jesus Christ shows up, you realize he was the one talking to the prophets in the Old Testament. It's the same voice. So he says, "I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me." That's John the Baptist. And then Jesus Christ is mentioned here. "The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So Jesus Christ is going to be the messenger of the covenant. He's obviously God manifest in the flesh. All those other titles you could apply to him, but one of them is he's the messenger of the covenant, the one that God's going to make with mankind. If anyone would trust Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life, and they would be offered in Jesus Christ. So he's the messenger of the covenant. Then you have the fifth messenger in chapter 4, verse 5, Elijah. In chapter 4, verse 5, second to the last verse in the Old Testament, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." All right, so Elijah is a messenger, specifically named there. And this is why, that verse there is why when Jesus Christ started asking, "Who do men say that I am?" Some said, "Well, this is Elijah. This is the prophet who's supposed to come, and this is him." So Malachi, the name means messenger, and in the book you've got five messengers: Malachi, the priest, John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Elijah. So that's the just an outline you could go through. And the title of the Lord is important in this book. Go back to chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord of hosts shows up several times. And when the Lord uses the title, the Lord of hosts, it's because he's describing or preparing for warfare. It's almost every time you see the title Lord of Hosts used, he's describing or preparing for some kind of warfare. So in chapter 1, verse 4, you've got the Lord of Hosts. In 1, verse 6, the Lord of Hosts. 1, 8, 1, 9, 1, 10, 1, 11, 1, 13, 1, 14, 2, 2, 2, 4, 2, 7, 2, 8, 2, 12, you get the idea. It's just all over. That's the title that's in this book. And it's significant that that's the title that's used of the Lord, because like I said, that's a kind of a battle title. And so the Lord's preparing for warfare. And that's important. Another thing that's important in this book, it's a perfect transition. Because like I said, after the Lord says this through Malachi, says what he says in this book, he doesn't have anything else to say to Israel for 400 years. He has nothing else to say. The state of Israel doesn't change. The priesthood doesn't change any. The nation doesn't change any. And so the conditions that Malachi talks about are going to be the exact same conditions that Jesus Christ finds when he comes to Israel. It's going to be the same conditions. So here's some things that Israel was asking in that time. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. It says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? And then he answers, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. So they ask, wherein hast thou loved us? Where is the love of God on our nation? That's what they ask. In verse 6, there's another question. And we'll deal with all these questions more thoroughly. I just want to show you the questions and the state of the nation and their cynicism about God Almighty. Verse 6, at the end of verse 6, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Verse 7, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. So there's another question. Where have we despised thee? Where have we polluted your name? And he answers and tells them where they polluted the name of God. Chapter 2 and verse 17. There's another one, but I'll just look at this one. Verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? You see, these questions, God is saying, this is what you are asking. Here's my answer to these questions. You're asking, where is the love? I'm going to explain to you where the love of God is. Where have you polluted? You say, where have we polluted the table of God? Here's what you've done. You've taken the sacrifices and made them essentially into just garbage that you bring to the temple now. Then he says, where have we wearied God? And he says, with your words, you just talk and all the things you say and the way you treat good and evil. You call good evil and you call evil good and you magnify evil. And so it's just going through these questions. It's just a series of questions. Then in chapter 3, verse 7, says, even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. All right, so there's another question. They've been, and we'll deal with the tithes and offerings things, but they hadn't been doing their part in all that. Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? All right, so you get the idea. They're just, the nation is very cynical of God Almighty. They don't believe as a nation that God's been any benefit to them. They don't believe as a nation that there really is any benefit to serving God. But they will claim in the sight of other nations that they are God's people. But reality is that they don't really see any benefit to trusting God, to obeying his laws, to administering or to conducting their lives in the way that God told them to. So the Lord's just using these questions to get right to the heart of the people. We looked at look at verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? All right, we saw that one. You got the idea. So all these questions, you've got question after question after question. And all that leads up to chapter 4, verse 1, which says, describes the coming of Jesus Christ. It says, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So it's leading up to the coming of Jesus Christ, the first coming and the second coming. And so the preparation of the nation, the questions, the interrogation, the Malachi, that the Lord uses Malachi to ask the nation these questions. And it's a series of, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 questions where the message is, you've taken me lightly, and now you've basically treated me contemptible. And so when I return, I'm not going to be happy when I return. When I come to visit you, it's not going to be good. And so Malachi, he ends with, on a positive note, though, or some positive note. I understand he ends with a curse, but the point is God's going to come back. He's going to visit the people, and some will be burned up, but some will be healed. Some will be taken care of. And so he says in verse 4 of chapter 4, "Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So last word in the Old Testament is curse, but the point is, here's the situation, here's the state of the nation, and if you guys don't get your hearts right, some will end up on this side and some will end up on this side, depending on what you do with the words I've given you. So all of those questions we'll deal with as we go through this book. Like I said, Malachi is a great transition from Old Testament to New Testament. The second word in the book, burden, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, there's a lot we could say about that. But these men that preach to the nation of Israel, and any preacher really, but these men, they carried a weight that the nation didn't carry, and it was something that weighed on their hearts, weighed on their minds, weighed on their souls, and that's why it's called a burden. It's just it's something that they carried around trying to get a people who were disobedient to obey and to listen and to get their hearts right with God. And so Malachi there's so much good stuff in here, so many applications that can be made. So it means messenger. The name means messenger. And again, the state of Israel in the time of Malachi will be the state of Israel when Jesus Christ shows up. The priesthood's going to be in just a mess. The people will just be in kind of a mess. They'll be cynical towards God. When Jesus Christ shows up, God manifests in the flesh, the people will just, most of them will just kind of scoff at that. There'll be a handful that are faithful, but the majority will just kind of have this attitude that's put out in Malachi here. So lots of stuff we'll get into. I just want to give you an outline this evening, and this is where we'll be for the next few weeks, just dealing with this book. So that's kind of an overview of the book. So I hope you go home and read it. It's only 4 chapters, and see what it says, and next week we'll start digging into the book. But that's what we got tonight. That's the outline, and I encourage you to go home and read it, and you'll have plenty of time this week probably to go home and read it. So yeah. So let's pray. We'll get out of here. Get you guys out of here early tonight.